Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and welcome to Tasting Room Radio. We started this journey in a studio barn on the Naramata Bench, and here we are 12 years later. You can find the website at tastingroomradio.com, or if you go to mulliganstew.ca, you'll find not only Tasting Room Radio, but the Mulligan Stew podcast and Mulligan Stew Radio. This is the first of a two-part series on Tofino. I was invited to Tofino by Shauna Gardam and Linda Kay and several other folks who said it was a great idea. I was going for the Tofino Food and Wine Festival, but it was suggested that perhaps I'd like to come out earlier and discover what Tofino was about away from a food and wine festival. And I jumped in with both feet. I love that idea. So this is part one of our two-part coverage of what it's like in Tofino this summer, 2019. We'll be talking to Charles McDermott, whose family started the Wicked Inish Inn. He is the managing director. Ike Seaman, the food and beverage director, who will walk us through the brand new gorgeous wine cellar. The new chef at the Point at the Wicked Inish Inn, Chef Carmen Ingham, who of course has to follow a long line of hero chefs that have gone through that kitchen. Lisa Aye, the legendary chef, storyteller, author, who runs Sobo Restaurant in Tofino. And she has some surprising news for you. Willie Mitchell, hockey player, now retired, the partner in Tofino Resort and Marina. And he tells us about the Saltwater Classic coming up. The highly awarded Chef Paul Morin, who is the executive chef at Willie's Tofino Resort and Marina. The restaurant is called 1906. This young man won the first ever Hawksworth Young Chef Competition. He won the Pellegrino Young Chef Competition, came in fifth place in the World Series representing Canada. I'm sure many of you know him from Top Chef Canada, where he won. And then to finish off, we're going to head for Euclid and the latest restaurant that has opened there. It just happens to be the former executive chef from the Wicked Inish Inn, Warren Barr, along with his wife, Lily Verney Downey. And they have opened a restaurant called Pluvio. By the way, part two next week will feature Tina Windsor from Picnic, Neil Campbell from Tofino Craft Distillery, Brian O'Malley from Tofino Brewery, Brendan Fole, and Cassidy McCoggan from Summit Bakery. And then we go to the Tofino Food and Wine Festival. We're heading for the far west coast of Canada, where the people there are called Tofitians. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. You'll find Unsworth pouring new releases at the Duncan Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 to 2. And the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is taking place August 23rd through 25 at the absolutely gorgeous Shaunakan Lake School. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.
Charles McDermott is the managing director of the Wicked Inish Inn Tofino. Are they Tofinians?
Well, we go by Tofitians.
Tofitians?
Yeah.
Tofitians.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Right here on the sea, right?
How long did it take? 1996 is when you started? You opened the Wick?
We opened in August of 1996. That's absolutely correct.
How long did it take people to get it that this destination was here?
Well, when you talk about getting the destination, I think there was, even before we opened, a certain core number of people, you know, from Vancouver, mostly from the island, who got Tofino. But for us, when we opened in 1996, and I would say when we became a Rolland Chateau, we were welcomed into the Rolland Chateau family in 1997, that really opened the door to the destination as an international destination.
And for those who hear the term but are not quite sure what it means for the Chateau, it means there's a level of excellence that has been passed by this particular destination.
Yes, absolutely. The organization started in France. It's still based in Paris. It is now a worldwide association of nearly 600 members. But we're all Garagistas, is that the right term? That's right. Because you can only really be a Rolland Chateau if your property is less than 100 rooms. That's kind of the unspoken rule. So I'm I I I would say that's what it's about. People who are passionate about hospitality on a small scale. And that's what it's about.
Is it always like this? I mean, right now, it's busy. I mean, we had the De Silva pour last night, the winemaker's dinner. We've got the Tofino Food and Wine Festival happening today. I'm going to go talk to chefs in and around the hotel and downtown, and then head up industrial and talk to some of those small artisans. It's a buzzy little place.
Yes, it is. And the town of 2,000 people that we're talking about, we're also proud to say that we're also a very dynamic entrepreneurial town. There are 500 business licenses in this small town. So all those people you're talking about are masters of their own destiny. They're making wine in their garage, just like the Garagistas are, and doing their own thing, whether it's operating a whale watching tour or taking people surfing or making beer, or you know, we also have a distillery and you know, all these different things, and of course many of them are restaurateurs too.
Charles McDermott is the managing director of the Wiccaninish in Tofino. I know, Charles, this is important to you. When I talked to those chefs and the fishermen, they talked about sustainability, about protecting what we have, the natural resources. You have that same situation. I mean, you're on Chesterman. You're on a gorgeous stretch of beach. You have, you're in charge of watching your footprint here. How important is that to you?
Extremely important. It has been from the very beginning when we built the inn and utilized recycled timbers that came from an upgrade at St. Anne's Academy when they were replacing the foundational timbers with steel for seismic purposes, and we got all the wood and turned it into all the furniture and so on that we use here, and that's been part of our ethos from day one. But in terms of you know, the food we serve and certainly the sustainability of the products we put on our dinner table, absolutely essential. We're in a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve. We have Pacific Rim National Park at our doorstep. We have thousands of miles of coastline right here, the indigenous population that goes back 10,000 years, and the largest ocean on the planet and on our doorstep. You know, if those kind of elements don't make you want to protect what you have, I don't think anything would. So that's essential. And we just celebrated World Oceans Day, and our oceans and the wonderful products and the wonderful seafood that comes from them is under pressure worldwide, and Clackwood Sound is not spared either.
Charles McDermott is the managing director of the Wiccaninish in Tofino. Okay, I'm heading for the charcuterie. I'm heading for the distillery, the brewery. I'm going to knock on Lutz's door. I'm going to go see Paul Moran at 1909. I'm going to talk to your young chef. I'm going to go over to Sobo and... if I can slow her down long enough, I'm going to have a conversation with Lisa Aye, the chef, the author, the storyteller. But I'm going to start with Ike Seaman in your restaurant, and then he's going to show me this new cellar. And it's called Howard's Cellar. Tell us about Howard.
Sure. Well, that's my father's name. And he was a true red wine fan. And I would say a British Columbia wine drinking fan from the early days when you'll probably remember this, and he used to drink Kelowna Red because his good buddy was Herb Capozzi, and they sat in the legislature. But back then, you could only really drink it if you had about 4 ice cubes in your glass before you added the wine. So he's been a red wine fan from the very, very, very early days of the BC wine industry, when it was maybe less sophisticated than it is today.
Charles McDermott of the Wiccaninish in Tofino. Congratulations on the awards you've already received at the Wiccaninish Inn, and certainly in advance, congratulations to the awards that you will receive down the road, the accolades, because that you set a standard that can't be topped.
Well, thank you. We do appreciate that, and we're proud to represent BC and Tofino to not only to our neighbors, but those beyond our border here in the tiny town of Tofino.
We thank Charles McDermott for being our host here at the Wiccaninish Inn, managing director, the family, the vision to create this spot on the planet. All right, we're off. We're going to tangle with the Tahitians. And I'll let you know how it goes an hour from now.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
If you've been listening for any length of time, you'll know I tried to describe where we are and why we're where we are and who we're going to talk to and what we expect to find. I figure if the voices that I'm about to talk to just reveal themselves, then you'll have a story about Tofino, about the Wiccanishin, and what it's like to not just show up on a Saturday, Sunday, and then buzz off saying you've been to Tofino. What if you stayed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and got a real sense of what was going on in Tofino? Some of the character of it, because there's a lot of characters here. We're going to start with Ike Seaman, who is the director of food and beverage at The Point restaurant at the Wiccanish Inn. He's also a sommelier, and he has given me a tour of a building I thought I knew, because there's a whole new wine cellar down here. Do you want to talk about food and beverage? First of all, you want to talk about the restaurant upstairs that has given not only British Columbia, but Canada, some of the great chefs of our time.
Well, you know, we are absolutely thrilled and very humbled by, you know, the success that we've had at the restaurant and all the chefs that, you know, we are where we are today because of the chefs that were here yesterday.
Here's your opportunity to drop some names, just some of those chefs who have passed through here.
Well, most recent, our chef Warren Barr, amazing chef who's just opened his own place, Pluvio, in Euclid. So we're super proud to have him on board, and we're proud that he is just down the road a half a mile. So if we want to go for something nice to eat, we know where to go. And of course, we have to start with Chef Rod Butters, who really set the foundation.
He did set the tone too.
He absolutely did, and even to this day, he's still a piece of the Wiccanish Inn and very connected to us and a very close and dear friend.
Mark Filito,
Justin Laboisier, Duncan Lee. So yeah, a lot of really great guys. Nick Nutting, of course, he's here in Tofino as well, and we're thrilled with everybody. Tofino attracts a lot of different people, but I think a lot of for them is the opportunity to do whatever it is they want to do, and to do it to the best of the ability. And we, you know, we never put restraints on the chef outside of, you know, manage the food cost a little bit, but and sometimes maybe not so much, but to really be creative and to showcase their talents on a world stage.
Ike Seaman, sommelier, director of food and beverage at the Wiccanish Inn, The Point restaurant. What kind of wine town is Tofino Euclid? How do people approach wine here? Because I know it's certainly, absolutely, positively, it's a beer community.
Well, yeah, definitely a beer community, and it's turning quickly into a spirits community as well. You know, we've got a couple of great distilleries in both towns. But I would say, you know, the world of wine is really growing here, and it kind of is moving parallel with the food scene. You know, as the restaurants have been getting better, the wine lists have been getting better, the interest in wine has been increasing, the people who are running the F&B shows at the different properties are, you know, they're looking for creative wines. Again, a lot of it, you know, Tofino is looking for a lot of the small producers, the boutique producers, and some interesting stuff. But at the same time, you know, you see a lot of the more top quality, larger producers as well.
Well, you've made a huge commitment to BC Wine.
Absolutely, you know, and I think BC Wine is our local industry. It's our backyard. And again, we're proud to be able to showcase our wines on a world stage, and to receive the feedback from guests from all over the world who can drink the most expensive to the least expensive wines that they want and choose a BC product and be absolutely blown away by it.
His name is Ike Seaman. He is the guy you want to talk to at The Point restaurant at the Wiccanish Inn in Tofino. All right, we're sitting in this room, this incredible cellar. How many bottles here?
Well, this cellar is going to hold somewhere around 3,500 bottles. And we have about, I think right now, about 7,500 in our collection.
So that a section there?
This basically anything to do with Pinot Noir, Syrahs, sort of the Burgundy Rhone side of the cellar. The opposite side, you call it the Bordeaux side, so Cab, Merlots, that sort of thing.
And the fully curved middle?
The fully curved middle, that's what I call in the center, is Italy, Spain, and all things fun. Yeah.
And then so off to your right, my left.
These wine fridges, yeah, they're VinPro wine fridges, each one holding 12 cases of wine on pull-out shelves, label out display. So they're really quite pretty, but also they have a modern look, but they're very sleek and elegant.
And smoky glass.
Smoky glass, yeah. So they don't, you know, it doesn't look like you're walking into a grocery store refrigerator lineup when you're sitting here.
I know this is fresh. Can you tell me what's in each?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we have starting at the back here are the Chardonnays moving in towards the Rieslings and then finishing off Rieslings and Pinot Gris, things like that, and then finishing off with Bubblies.
You still have a lot of room to fill here, and you have a lot of bottles already on display.
Yes.
And each cellar has its own voice. What's the voice of the cellar here at the Wick?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. So really building this cellar, we wanted to build depth and diversity in our wine list and to be able to purchase wines so that we can store them now and put them on the list in, call it, 1 to 7 years, so that instead of drinking a wine that is 2015 in 2019, when we should be drinking that wine in maybe 2022 or 2025, so that we can add that age-worthiness on the wines. We're not really going to add a ton of extra selections to the list, but just more depth of what we are currently carrying. For the first few years, we do have some trophy wines that we are putting in here and some, you know, kind of special bottles, but we want the wine cellar to be a little bit of a workhorse before it becomes the show horse. And so we can get a little bit of a return back, see where our guests are comfortable with in that price range, and then kind of make the adjustments from there.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. What's the Diva bottle?
Well, we've got Latache sitting right over there, and there's a Screaming Eagle and Harlan Estate on the other side, so they're kind of...
Any of those old French guys?
There's a few French guys around here too, yeah.
What's the single most popular wine varietal at the point?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. You know, I would say out of the reds, it's probably Pinot Noir.
Wow.
Yep. And out of the whites, it would have to be, right now, I would guess, Sauvignon Blanc.
How about rosé?
Lots of rosés, and we rotate rosés throughout the year, actually. And we sell more rosé in the, you know, spring, summer months than we do the rest of the year. Although I fully believe that rosé should not be a seasonal wine.
It no, it's not.
It should be drunk and enjoyed.
Not in our household.
Round. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to a dinner tonight, and I'm looking forward to spending my time here.
We're thrilled that you're here, and hope you enjoy your stay.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
He is Ike Seaman, and he is the sommelier, director of food and beverage at the Wick & Innes in the Point restaurant.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. You'll find Unsworth pouring new releases at the Duncan Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 to 2. And the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is taking place August 23rd through 25 at the absolutely gorgeous Shaunakan Lake School. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, and you are invited to join them at the winery for one of the very best wieners and a glass of wine. The Wienery will be serving up their delicious gourmet hot dogs July the 9th, July 22nd, and August 27th, and a wine to pair with that dog. Road 13, the number one winery in Canada. Road13Vineyards.com.
It's day two at the Wick & Innes Inn in Tofino. But Tofino is going to swell from just under 2,000 people to 112,000 people by the time the summer's done. It falls on people like Chef Carmen Ingham to take care of the flow at the Wick. He is the new executive chef. How new? How fresh are you?
I've been here since the end of January, so about as fresh as it gets.
And you are the pride of North Vancouver?
That's right.
Where'd you go to school?
St. Thomas Aquinas High School.
Oh, did they have valet parking there?
No, no. We parked the teacher's cars there, actually.
Okay, so you and I met, although it was crazy busy, just a blur, actually, at the first Hawksworth Young Chefs competition. You play second?
I play second, that's right. It was a great experience. The winner actually that year is also here in Tofino. That's Paul Moran of 1909 Kitchen, who just won Top Chef Canada as well.
Placing second, what did being in that competition do for you?
It was a great challenge. It was my first big competition. And the thing I really like about competition is it forces you to really evaluate where you're at as a chef and see what your weaknesses are, see what your strengths are. And you try to improve them in a big hurry. It also exposes you to a lot of great networking possibilities. You meet a lot of great people. And once you come second, there's nothing that makes you want to compete more than that. So,
all right. So where were you when this opportunity arose at the WIC?
It was actually at a restaurant called Olo in Victoria, which was a great restaurant to work at.
Great restaurant.
Small farm to table place. We had about 40 seats in the dining room, and we just focused on dinner time.
So from Olo to the WIC, when that WIC offer came, did you know the history of the WIC and the chefs that came through here?
I did know the history of the WIC. I worked at Sonora Resort, which is another Relais and Chateau property on the other side of Vancouver Island. I was there for about 4 years and really kind of look at it as my college experience when it comes to cooking. I learned a lot there and moved up the ranks from a breakfast cook to a sous chef. And that was really what gave me the exposure of something like the WIC Initiative in general. I'd been camping in Tofino for years growing up and always knew of the WIC as this beautiful building that we couldn't afford at the end of the beach. So to get the chance to cook here one day at such an iconic property that really represents the West Coast more so than anything else to me, it's truly an honor.
And what about the history of the chefs who've worked that kitchen? Chef, you want to drop some names here? This is your chance.
Well, Warren Barr, for one, I mean, he's the most recent chef here. He's been a great influence for me. He's been a lot of help in setting up basically my transition and taking over this place, and amazing what he's accomplished here over the years, and what he's doing today is quite amazing too.
And he is just down the road if you need advice.
That's right. I finally made it out to dinner for my birthday the other day, and a fantastic meal down there, and it's good to still keep in touch with him.
What other names jump out at you?
I mean, Rod Butters, first and foremost. He's made quite a career for himself. I mean, he had one before coming to the WIC, and he certainly continued onwards after that out in the Okanagan. Mark Filiteau, for sure. He's another one. I believe he won gold medal plates when it was still called that. And I've been to his restaurant in Kelowna as well. Fantastic out there. We actually just had our cookbook released about a year ago. And looking through all the names that have been involved over the years, it's pretty amazing to be a part of that.
This is Executive Chef Carmen Ingham, who is the new chef. And we're just off the Rocks Bar at the Point Restaurant at the Wicked in Tofino. Carmen, what are some of the untouchables? What's the three most popular dishes on the menu?
Funny enough, I can play around as much as I want, really, with the tasting menu and the dinner menu. But the things that really can't be removed, I mean, we're always going to have a chowder, a fish and chips. And then on our brunch menu, our salmon roasty, that one is untouchable. So other than that, I get quite a lot of free rein, but still, I want to keep it within what everyone's grown to expect here over the years.
I mean, I wonder what people come here for. Do they want the tuna?
They want seafood for sure. They want tuna. They want crab. They want salmon. Sable fish is another one we always have on our menu. We usually have caviar and sturgeon from the Sunshine Coast. Yeah. So seafood's always a big player. If you've ever been to Tofino in the fall, you know that mushrooms are a huge part of the menu here. Berries often, even all throughout the year, we find ways to preserve them as well. So berries and mushrooms, along with the seafood, are things that are always going to be found on our menu.
What about getting access now to salmon in particular? Well, I'm thinking of springs. When spring season comes, because of the fishing regulations, and they've changed for sport fishing, is it getting any more difficult to access those salmon?
It's not too much more difficult to access the spring salmon right now. The difficult part really is kind of the moral discussion that some people have with it. A lot of people feel that it's a species that we might not necessarily should be eating right now, just due to the decline in their stocks. For me, really, it's something I think about constantly. What's the best way to address this situation? Because it's an iconic product here and one that people certainly want to eat. At the same time, we need to be respectful of the state of the fishery and see what we can do to help that. So,
when's the last time you camped here?
Last time I was camping here was probably about 7 or 8 years ago. It's been a little while.
And what was your best dish?
Best dish camping is usually a fish wrapped in tinfoil, a lot of lemon and herbs, and thrown in the fire.
He is executive chef Carmen Ingham at The Point Restaurant, The Wickedness Inn, Tofino.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
We're at Sobo in Tofino with Chef Lisa Aye, the author of the Sobo Cookbook, and just a wonderful human being. She has conceived of and runs and is a team leader at Sobo in downtown Tofino. And I passed the Sobo Cookbook as I went by, and I said to Lisa, we have a copy at home. It looks different. What have they done to it?
Well, what they've done to it is reprinted a number of times, which is wonderful for me. And it seems to get glossier every time.
How many times?
Well, this is our fifth print.
We're at Sobo in Tofino with Chef Lisa Aye, the author of the Sobo Cookbook. How much have you changed? How much has Sobo changed? And how much has Tofino changed in those 16 years?
Well, I don't think Sobo's changed at all, actually. I think the root of what we started with is exactly where we're at now.
Which is what?
Grassroots gourmet, community-minded, cooking from the soul. We're cooking for a community here. That's what we do. And if the tourists find us, great. And you know, I see our customers sometimes 5 times a week, sometimes 7 days a week. So I know that I'm hitting the right notes for them. Doesn't mean it's going to make all the tourists happy, but...
Because after we leave, after the tourists leave, you're locals.
That's right. That's right. And, yeah, they fill my heart and my soul, I got to say. They've become my extended family.
Two things. Take me through that. Just a couple of highlights on that menu in front of you.
Okay. Well,
because I haven't seen the dinner menu.
Oh, okay. Well, dinners are a different beast here at Sobo. I mean, we're an extension of that same lunch menu that's very accessible, very healthy. But, you know, we'd like to get creative, too. So this is our spring menu. We change the menu sometimes a couple of times a week. So right now we're focusing on, of course, lots of island asparagus. So we've got this asparagus and poached egg salad with pecorino and mustard vinaigrette. It's one of my very favorites.
Wow.
We've got fresh halibut right now, and of course, it's made so you can eat here every day.
Is it made with attitude?
Love. Taste the love. Taste the love. We've got a beautiful seafood risotto tonight with fresh scallops, island prawns, because they're in season right now, and the beautiful black cod.
You've always done smoked salmon chowder, right?
Well, I didn't start the truck off with smoked salmon chowder, but when my husband's mother came to visit, she's like, why don't you have a chowder, dear? I don't understand why you don't have a chowder, dear. Everybody loves a good chowder. And I said, yes, everybody loves a good chowder. They love a good Caesar salad, but that's all they'll ever buy if you give it to them. I want to do some other food. So I did an experiment one day while she was here on her vacation, and I did a chowder. My gosh, the chowder sells. I have a retail line now in the freezer. I can't keep up with the chowder. It is the thing that is absolutely doubles the sales than anything else.
Okay.
It's all about the chowder and the cornbread here at Sobo.
We're at Sobo in Tofino with Chef Lisa Aye, the author of the Sobo Cookbook.
Ooh.
Lisa, let's do a speed round.
Okay.
I'm going to do your apps, and you tell me what you're going to pour with it. Mussels and clams. Thai inspired.
Simeon.
Oh, Panisse, chickpea fritter.
I'm going to do this Chardonnay, the Roche Chardonnay.
The Roche Chardonnay?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I love it.
They're going to be pouring tomorrow. Okay.
Oh, good.
A Mediterranean plate, the falafel.
I'm going to do my Blue Mountain Gamay.
I love this woman. Cheese and meat grape leaf.
Cheese and meat grape leaf. I'm going to do burnt timber.
Cibolo shrimp.
Cibolo shrimp from Cibolo, which is a ranch that my husband and I ran down in Shafter, Texas.
Okay. And what are you going to pour with that?
The Tantalus Riesling.
The organic Nanus greens.
That's where I'm going to have my glass of water in between all my wine.
Asparagus and egg island asparagus.
Alderley Pinot Gris.
An island wine.
I've always been a fan of Alderley.
What are you going to pour with the halibut?
Today, with the halibut, I'm going to pour the Sav Sim from Loch and Worth.
Have you got any natural wines there?
We really do try to get biodynamic, natural, and sprayed, but we don't list all of that. We just try to do it. It's kind of like labeling every farm that your food comes from on your menu. I want people to trust me that I'm doing the right thing by our menu, and I'm buying the absolute best that we can as local as possible.
Excellent. All right, one more thing. If I ordered the wild nettle ricotta, roasted garlic, matzah, arugula, parmesan, pizza, What would you pour?
I'm going to pour the Church and State Syrah.
How often does this change?
This wine list? We changed it 3 times this week.
Now, this is a beer town, right? Lucky Lager?
It's a little bit of a beer town. And now it's becoming like a spirit town because all these good distilleries locally. Some great distilleries here.
Okay.
And on the island in general, you know. So, yeah.
We're at Sobo in Tofino with Chef Lisa Aye, the author of the Sobo Cookbook, and just a wonderful human being.
Here's the big question, the overhanging question. How long do you want to do this?
Oh, well, how long do I want to do it?
Depending on what day I talk to you?
Well, I officially signed papers today to sell my business.
No.
I just listed my business with RE/MAX Realty.
No.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm going to turn 60. And there's not enough time in the world for me to do all the different lives I need to do. And I have some opportunities that I haven't taken. And I'm sure that I'll help the next person along. I think it should be passed to the next generation. I'd love to see it carry on. And I would love to help the next generation. I don't want to say be as successful as me, because I don't look at it as success, but to have the same... My heart has been full so many times by the people who come in here and eat our food. And sometimes I think I should be doing something more meaningful with my life rather than slaving away at the stove. But then somebody walks in and tells me a story about how I've changed their life.
It is meaningful.
And the most recent thing was, there was a local gentleman in hospice care across the street at the hospital, and his last food wish was for my polenta fries. And when things like that happen, I realize that something as simple as a taco or a whatever it is, a bowl of soup, can change people's lives and can mean so much. And this cookbook that I'm involved with tomorrow night, it's called Food Stories, raising money for East Van Meals. I don't know. It's called Home is Where the Heart Is. And things like this is, you know, food has always been, for our generations, I think food has been mostly at home. Now it's becoming that people eat at restaurants more frequently and daily. So now restaurants are becoming almost the home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, okay, I have done meaningful work here. But sometimes we just don't know that when we're sitting on a milk crate eating a piece of bread at the end of an 18-hour day and we wonder what we've done. And people have so many financial struggles having restaurants, trying to make them successful, and they wonder why they've done it and put their families through what they put their families through. But sometimes somebody walks through your door and, you know, I've really changed their life, I've really touched them. And my work, if I'm maybe just going down to the food bank to help them out, or I'm going to show up at a local event for a fundraiser, it's that food that helps drive our community.
Your life changed today.
My life changed today. Well, if the restaurant sells, but, you know, I do need to kind of slow down at my age. And I think in order to run the kind of restaurant that I run, it is important for me to be here. And I don't feel like I can do the rest of my life and do service to my own family by being here 7 days a week.
Okay. Can we eat?
Oh, God, let's eat.
We're at Sobo in Tofino with Chef Lisa Aye, the author of the Sobo Cookbook, and just a wonderful human being. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms on Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with 4-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. Would like to remind you about their Canada Day, Dominion Day long weekend Hobothon. It's a taste time spectacular. They'll be pouring 3 hobo wines, a life cycle, and 2 dynasties. Bring your friends, your family, and celebrate this Dominion of Canada. All the details at thehatchwines.com.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're in Tofino. We're actually at the Tofino Resort and Marina, just downtown. On the outside deck with executive chef Paul Moran. We're also going to talk to ex-Vancouver Canuck, ex-LA King, Willie Mitchell, who's one of the partners here, who put this whole concept together. Now, if the name Paul Moran rings a bell with you, you might have seen him when he won the Hawksworth Young Chef competition some 7 years ago, which is where we first met. He was a young chef at Sonora Resort and other resorts. 4 years ago, he won the San Pellegrino Young Chef competition. And then in the worlds of that competition, he came fifth out of 20 representing Canada. And most recently, you would remember him as the winning chef on Top Chef Canada. This is Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan. We gave you the lowdown on Chef Paul Moran at 1909 Kitchen in Tofino at Tofino Resort and Marina. We're also going to have a conversation with Willie Mitchell, who claims to be the president of this company. But we'll find out. We'll find out exactly what he is in a moment. But I'm going to take Paul and Chef back to, well, maybe the last time we saw each other. It was a humble little competition a couple of years ago. What do you remember about that Young Chefs competition?
Yeah, I think the last time we sat down must have been in Whistler, and it was probably right after the Hawksworth Young Chef Scholarship, the first season that they had done it. I think it was 7 years ago.
7 years ago. What's happened in those 7 years?
Well, in the last 7 years, I won the Hawksworth Young Chef Scholarship, and then you know, I've had a chance to work at a few different remote resorts throughout BC. It's actually given me quite an opportunity to travel around the province and work in some different amazing locations. And that led up to me competing in the San Pellegrino Young Chef competition, which was 4 years ago now. And I actually ended up winning that and having the chance to represent Canada in Milan, where I finished fifth place overall in the world out of 20 competitors. And just recently this year was Top Chef Canada. So kind of stepping the level up a little bit in terms of competition. And yeah, I was fortunate enough to have won Top Chef Canada, which is pretty amazing.
How much have you changed as a chef in those 7 years? Is that possible to put into words?
Yeah, I think I've gained a good, you know, sort of found my pace as a chef. I've relaxed a little bit.
Define relax. When's the last pan you threw?
That must have been about 10 years ago or 7 years ago, somewhere around the time we last met. That's, yeah, I've definitely changed my approach to mentoring because I've had a chance to work with a lot of other younger chefs over the last 7 years. Kitchens have changed a lot as well. So
I hear you're diving.
Yeah, for, you know, I've always been a forager. It started with mushrooms, then it blossomed into plants, and now the next frontier is below the surface of the ocean, which is free diving, so certified free diver.
And what are you looking for down there?
There's gooey ducks, there's horse clams, there's sea urchins, sea cucumbers has been a really fun one to play around with. Lots of seaweed. That's, you know, cooking with seaweed has really opened up for me in the last year here, and it's amazing. Amazing species of plants, and so delicious.
Chef, how's the local foraging? It must be said, there must be some great seasons.
Yeah, the fall in particular out here for the mushrooms is really great, and we have a lot of people that are on our team here that work in the kitchen, the front of house, and in our adventure center that are super passionate about foraging, so it's not just myself. There's a big group of our staff that love going out to do it, and we're happy to see that.
Okay, if I said to you, Chef, create a dish for tonight's dinner from what you can find in the forests around here, if I give you a couple of hours, what would you come back with and what would you work with?
I think a quick dip for a few sea cucumbers, you know, in the ocean, and then you know, I'd definitely go search for some pine mushrooms. And you know, I bring the sea cucumbers back. We do a crispy sea cucumber marinated with ginger and white soy, and then just a beautiful little broth infused with some seaweed and charred alder, and then just some beautiful raw thinly shaved pine mushrooms on top of that.
This is Tasty Room Radio in Tofino. The restaurant is 1909, and it's right hanging over the water at the Tofino Resort and Marina downtown Tofino. The chef is Paul Moran, winner of the Hawksworth Young Chef competition, the Pellegrino Young Chef, and Top Chef Canada. So first of all, I've got the menu in front of me. Smaller plates, outlandish raw oysters, sea and green asparagus, locally caught albacore tuna, very popular, obviously. Biodynamic greens, gala apple salad, crispy shiitake, 8-grain risotto, wrinkled nugget potatoes, wood roasted cauliflower. So what does Tofino want to be in? Because I would ask you the same question about what kind of wine town is Tofino. What kind of food town is Tofino?
I think there's a lot of health conscious people living here in Tofino, a lot of people that really care about where their ingredients come from. So I think that translates easily into the restaurant menus. We have to cook for the locals first and tourists second when it comes to operating restaurants here in town. We only have 2,000 locals, and we cherish their feedback and their thoughts and what they want to eat. We care about that a lot. And everybody, there's a lot of like-minded individuals here, and people that, like I said, care about sustainability, care about their health, and you know, enjoy adventure. So we try and incorporate sustainability, healthy foods, and adventure into our menu.
And that thinking went into the fact that the reason I asked you about the you created the first menu, because rarely does a chef get to start from scratch to actually make a statement with a with a menu. What was the statement you made at 1909?
Well, I think, you know, there's that there's something for everybody, that there is some adventure in the menu, so you can come in and find something you know and like.
You can do something for them, but you also do something for you.
It didn't just happen overnight. It's taken us a few years to get to where we are today.
Paul, just let me ask you about the chilled Tofino seafood platter. Like, how big is it? It's a family thing.
Yeah, well, you were talking about, you know, when cooking for myself versus things that other people want to eat on the menu. So definitely the chilled seafood platter is a little bit of a selfish dish on the menu. Not shellfish, not selfish. We keep our Dungeness crabs live here on the dock in what we call the crab condo. Yeah, you get a whole Dungeness crab. It's filled with mussels and clams from outlandish shellfish and Quadra Island. And we get in fresh oysters from the west and the east coast three times a week. We got fresh wasabi from Malcolm Island up near Port Hardy. Yeah, it's the ultimate seafood platter. We have three patios here on site, and summertime is our peak season. So, I mean, you know, that's my dream, to one day come down here and sit on our patio and enjoy a large seafood platter in the middle of a summer afternoon. It hasn't happened yet, but I know it's going to happen one of these days.
And if somebody asked you at that table, what wine would you recommend with the seafood platter?
Probably a nice, crisp, Tantalus Riesling.
Were you concerned about, because you know that the ocean is changing, and they're trying to protect it as best they can, failing in some cases. What's the responsibility of a chef and a restaurant to protect and support the fishing industry and the fishing?
You know, based off of our values, we designed the menu to reflect what we think are ethical choices. So, you know, sustainably harvested seaweed versus, you know, spring salmon on the menu is a smart choice for everybody. Yeah. Because we're dealing with products that are readily available and sustainable. You know, we still want to be able to offer our guests salmon, but we're seeing which runs are plentiful during the year. We're switching up our menus to feature that fish. Lots of vegetables and, you know, just kind of educating the guests on why these things are on the menu. And, you know, if they want to come out and have a big 8-ounce piece of salmon, you know, educating them that, hey, look, the salmon aren't running well this year, and that's why it's not on the menu.
This is Tasting Room Radio in Tofino. The restaurant is 1909 at the Tofino Resort and Marina. The chef is Paul Moran. Are you done with competition?
Well, no, I'm not done. I'm hoping to, you know, I've got my fingers crossed now after pulling out the Top Chef win to get a call from Iron Chef Canada, because I've watched Iron Chef Japan since I was a little kid. You know, it was like my dad and I, we watched hockey too, but I mean, when Iron Chef Japan came on, that was like, there's a lot of excitement in the household. So if ever the day comes when I get a call from them, you know, I'd be honored to go do it. It's kind of like a childhood dream.
You have set goals for yourself and you've matched those goals and bested them. Now what?
I think the focus now is to, you know, look after, it's the same as been since we opened here, is to look after our guests that are coming to the restaurant on the day to day. And, you know, a lot more guests have started coming into the restaurant since I've won this competition. And I really cherish that opportunity and appreciate it. And so now the focus for myself and for the kitchen is to make sure that all of the people that are taking the time to go out of their way to come visit us here at 1909 Kitchen are getting looked after in the best possible manner.
How do you like the hang in Tofino?
You know, on the back of the sailboat on a day off, off a free dive line, with my boots up to my knees in the moss in the forest picking mushrooms. That's where you'll find me. It's good times. It's Tofino. That's why I'm out here, right? Lots of adventure and long list of things to do.
Has Hawksworth come by just to check you out?
No. You know, we had a nice brief phone call there. That was pretty good. But he came by during our first year. We did a collaboration dinner here together with Phil Scarfone. And that was a really nice night. Lots of good friends here in the dining room. And
then you end up in competition.
then we end up in competition. Yeah, it's funny.
That's totally ironic that the two of you ended up 1-2 there.
Yeah, it was funny because I'd cooked at Nightingale for a week prior to our opening here, just checking out their wood-burning oven program. And then same thing, Phil came out here for a collaboration. So we've cooked together a few times over the past few years. And it was nice to be able to do the finale with him.
Congratulations on your success and this great hang at 1909.
Thanks a lot. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Give me half a second. We'll be back with Willie Mitchell.
Food, wine, and friends. It doesn't get any better. You're listening to Tasting Room Radio, a celebration of all three, with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
We're at the Tofino Resort Marina. It's just as you come into Tofino, right-hand side, very busy. The whole area is really busy. But if you just go downhill, you can see the marina, you can see the hatch, you can see 1909, the restaurant. We're going to be talking to Paul Moran, the chef. And then at the very end, when you've run out of land, you'll find Willie Mitchell. At the very end of the building, the last possible spot looking out onto the water. He's the president and he's the partner. What does the president do and what does the partner do?
Partner cuts checks. President manages headaches.
You know Tofino well?
Yeah. Call it my healing grounds. Yeah, I got engaged here with my wife over at our good friends over there at the Wiccanish Inn. Yeah, it holds a special place in our heart. We have a place in, lucky enough, because I chased around rubber for a living, and I like adventure, and it's one of the best spots on the planet for it. You walk that beach, whether it's a Cox, North, South Chesterman, it's a healing grounds.
I was trying to explain, anybody can like Tofino on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a great weekend spot, but I was trying to dig into what makes Tofino tick Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Is it a different place during the week or is it the same?
Well, I'd say it's a great question. And I'd say the seasonality to it is it is a different place. And it's survival for locals from May through September. And locals love it through the winter. And we think it's really charming then. Yeah, less headaches, and we can actually go explore instead of actually survival as a business.
Because you do get overrun.
Yeah, 100%. Like, is, you know, we're in 3 years in our infancy in this business. We're flexing through. You know, I have friends like, oh, I want to come see the property. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys, right? Can't. And, you know, it's, you know, 2,000 plus or minus people. And I think stats say there's about 1 million visitors annually a year. So that gives you how much the infrastructure in the town flexes, but, you know, it's for a reason. Look outside right now.
It's Pacific Rim Park, friends.
Yep, yeah, it's beautiful. It's the Biosphere Trust, and, you know, locals, we know how to get away from the traffic. We're here, and so how's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday look? It's usually out in nature, exploring, anything, whether it's a free dive forage and come back and eat your food at an amazing restaurant. It's a hike up to the top of the hill. Forest bathing, as they would say. It's a surf, it's a beach stroll, it's a beach run, and we put a different metric on life out here. Some people's metric is a dollar, and ours is filling the soul, and Tofino's a place for that, for sure.
So how is it going to affect the 9th Annual Saltwater Classic?
I'm super happy about this because it's my good friend, and one, I'm honored because it's such an important event for the community and all the different beneficiaries from it, and Brendan and Aaron, that's his wife, have done a tremendous job with the event. And then, lo and behold, you know, I bought this property with my partners, and so we host it on site, and we obviously provide a lot of support, so there's more money going to the community. But I love it because of regulations from our good friends at Fisheries and Oceans Canada, it has to be a catch and release event this year. We believe in go out, fish, harvest, have that food for dinner, sustenance, and so with Brendan and his tournament, he's kind of been forced with it. And the passionate person that he is it's going to be another amazing event. And the people who participate, you're going to see what this is all about. And I think it'll be a pendulum. It'll shift the needle as far as how people look about you know, what they're doing on our oceans.
And it is a competition. It is a derby, but yes. Only fish released qualify.
Correct.
Willie Mitchell. He's the president and he's the partner. We're at the Tofino Resort Marina. Now, what are you doing? I just had this conversation over at the Wick about... Because chefs now today, especially chefs on the West Coast, they have to take into consideration what's happened to these waters, what fish they're serving, what we as customers want when we sit down. Some people are saying, I don't want to see spring salmon. on a menu. So how are you handling that in your menu here?
Yeah, great question. And certainly I don't have that skill set. I'd like to think I have the palate for it. But when you have great people, what can you do? You can make amazing things with product. And I know last year, we serve pink salmon because it's more in abundance. And because we have a chef who can put that to a plate and it still tastes amazing, we chose to do that.
One thing I want to touch on, and I'll let you go, and that is that 1909 is just now we're looking at an amazing success. It took 3 years.
You know, our property, we're inspired by adventure, and adventure can be anything from what I do some crazy stuff where I'm 100 miles offshore or swimming with 2,000 dolphins. An adventure to someone else could be having an oyster for the first time, right? And so we believe that Paul and his food is a connection to that. And so, because he's, you know, third or fourth generation forager, he's also just a licensed free diver now. So he was like foraging stuff out of the ocean. When I say this is that when you change and you do things a different way in a small town, sometimes there's a resistance to that. And, or it's just different, and no one was coming down, to be honest, for food. They were coming down for drink, that's it. And then word started to get out, and to be honest, is that in our infancy, the food was great. Sometimes the service was okay, and the attrition happens, it takes some time, and now we like to think that we're putting out amazing food, and the service is starting to match that.
Favorite thing on the menu?
Black cod, the sable fish smoked, it's amazing, but God, I could go on forever. But pizza, when I say this, is that we got that Mugnani oven over from Italy, and we have it pretty dialed. So Sneaky is an albacore, who wants albacore on a pizza? Have it. It's actually really amazing.
Tell me about the wine list.
I would lean towards where my passion lies in, good white Burgundy.
Is there a BC wine you like?
Great question. Is there a BC wine? I've been south of the border, Terry. I just really haven't been into the space. Before I left, I was, in the Quail's Gate Pinot, and certainly Burgundy is a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
A little bit darker fruit, a little bit full earthiness to it, and that's like red fruit forward versus dark fruit. Like I said, I'm kind of into my French wine, and as I've got back into British Columbia, I guess you could say is that I'm just starting to explore a little bit more. I think at Blue Grouse over in Duncan, they're doing some interesting stuff. But really, I haven't sunk my feet into BC wines yet, just being clear and honest.
You've been a little busy. Willie Mitchell, he's the president and he's the partner. We're at the Tofino Resort Marina. All right, so the dates on the 9th Saltwater Classic are July 5, 6, 7?
Yep, that's correct.
What does it cost to get in?
I don't know. I have to talk to my good friend Brennan, but I'm going to guess somewhere around $200.
That's Brendan Morrison, who's missing in action today, but he'll be around. There's a website?
Yep, absolutely. I think you just type in Saltwater Classic in this day of Google. It'll populate, I hope.
And we're raising funds.
Absolutely, and that's the best thing, is like good camaraderie for the environment, certainly for a lot of like good initiatives in Tofino, and really it's one of the premier events in British Columbia on the ocean with fishing. So I think everyone really has a good time, and there's some amazing prizes.
Thanks for coming home.
Thank you for having me.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to remind you about their Canada Day, Dominion Day long weekend Hobothon. It's a taste time spectacular. They'll be pouring 3 hobo wines, a life cycle, and 2 dynasties. Bring your friends, your family, and celebrate this Dominion of Canada. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Make your plans for August 1st and 2nd as the first annual 97 South Song Sessions take place. The shows will take place at Bench 1775 Winery and Penticton Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. August 1st and 2nd, some of the very best singer-songwriters will gather at Bench 1775. Details at bench1775.com.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I was going to say we're still in Tofino, but we're not. We're in Ucluelet. Warren Barr, Lily Verney Downey at Pluvio Restaurant and Rooms. And rooms in Ucluelet. They're Ukies now. How long were you Tofician?
We were there about 8 years. I actually lived, when I first moved to the coast, I lived in Ucluelet for the first year and a half and did the commute up to Tofino, but I think we can say we both moved to the coast about 8-9 years ago, most of that time in Tofino.
From where?
I'm from Vancouver, but I was coming back from PEI. I'd spent the last 6 years before. And Lily was in England. She'd done her internship in Tofino and had gone home for a few years and then wanted to flee the chaos of England and come to the quiet West Coast.
And what are you interned as?
I interned at the Wiccan as a cook. So I'm not in the kitchen anymore, but that was what I originally did.
You don't miss cooking?
Not so much. I really enjoy being in the front of house. I mean, it's different here with the open kitchen. I think I'd probably enjoy being in the kitchen a lot more, but getting to have that relationship with the guests is something that I find really special.
How many years at the Wick again?
That's a good question. I was there 8 years. 8 years? 8 years, six as the chef.
Who were you following and who did you hand off to?
I came in under Nick Nutting, so I was his sous chef. And then on my way out, I was happy to hand the keys over to Chef Carmen Ingham.
What words of wisdom were passed on to you and what did you pass on?
The words of wisdom I effectively got was to keep my bosses happy and laughing. And on the way out, I think I said to Carmen, the key to success is keep the bosses happy and laughing.
Does that clientele demand more because of the room, because of the history of the room and the kitchen?
It's hard to say. I know that we've found things different down here. I think there's a certain set of expectations is really what it is. You know, the Wiccan Inn is so well known and it's so sort of grand. I think that naturally people just expect more. And what we found coming down here is opening a new restaurant is people's expectations are a little different. And so it's been, I don't know if it's more demanding. Again, it's hard to say. People, I guess, expect less of what we're doing here because they don't really know what we're doing. And there, it's the Wiccan Inn, and it's put on such a pedestal. I think people just have very high expectations. And so it's easier maybe to be criticized there, I guess, would be a way to put it.
Now, do you have to deal with these people? Did you do in front of house?
I do, yes.
Are they appreciative, do you think, that you've come established here?
The response that we've had from opening the restaurant here has been overwhelming, actually. It's just been phenomenal. People have been so thankful and so appreciative, and they've said crazy things about how amazing it is, and it's been really fantastic. So yeah, they've definitely been very appreciative.
How much has he changed as a chef?
In the time I've known him, he's changed a lot. When I first met Warren, I was working in the kitchen, and he was...
Well, for one thing, she couldn't understand me because I mumbled and spoke really fast.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks that I worked with Warren, I had no idea what he was saying to me because he just mumbled the entire time.
Did you just nod?
I would nod, and then I would go to the other cooks to ask what he'd just said.
translators, yeah.
Yeah. But I think when he when I first started working with him as the chef, he very much kind of had a point to make, and he was quite rigid in his views about cooking and Canadian food, and he was very kind of constricted himself a little bit in what he would use and what influences he would take. And over the time that I've known him, I think he's just become more confident in his cooking and in what Canadian food is, and just really kind of taking all of those influences from the whole culture that we have in Canada and putting that into the food. I see a lot more kind of ethnic influences in the food from the culture that we have in Canada.
Is that called maturing?
That's for sure. Some of it's maturing as a cook and some of it's just maturing as an adult. I think even just understanding what Canada is, you know, like Lily was saying, I used to really try to restrict myself to using ingredients that just come from physically Canada, yeah. Not the ethical Canada, not the sort of moral Canada where we're such a multicultural society living together and happily. And so now, like Lily said, I'm using a lot more cultural influence, but I'm not making a curry dish. I'm not making a sushi dish. I'm using these ingredients like any other ingredient to create something that I think is pretty reflective of where we are.
You know, we're just talking about food here.
A little bit of both, maybe, you know?
It's food.
It is.
We need to eat.
Yeah, we got to eat, but it's also, you know, cultures are largely identified by cuisine, right? Whenever you go somewhere, yeah. First thing you do is you find out, you know, where the locals eat, or you want to know what they're eating, what's the food. So that's something in Canada we don't really have something to call ours. And so there's some of us in the country that have been pursuing that for a while, trying to give us something that we can call ours, that when someone comes to visit us, they'll eat it and be like, wow, this is what Canada tastes like.
How do you describe, Lily, the food here?
To me, it's a bit of a story. Like, each dish tells a story, and so...
If I were coming through the front door, what would you say?
That's a good question. I say that we focus on local produce, and so we really utilize the best produce that we can find.
Is it North American cooking?
Yes, I'd say it's Canadian cooking. Yeah. I'd say it's modern Canadian cuisine.
And what is Canadian cuisine?
Well, I think that's something that, you know, is Warren, along with many other chefs, a lot of the Relais and Chateau chefs, a lot of the people that are involved in Food Day Canada have been working towards defining. And I think that, I don't think it is defined yet.
I know what Canadian music is, and I know what Canadian wine is.
Yeah.
Food's a little trickier.
Yes, it is. You know, Canadian wine, let's use wine as an example, that the wine comes from the soil that's physically in Canada. And again, I tried to keep my food to that at one point, using purely what came from within our borders. And I still largely do that as much as I can. But then again, you know, you could say if a winemaker is from Switzerland, is that wine, but he's grown in the Okanagan, is that a Canadian wine, or is it, you know, so it's kind of that same idea. And so I think Canadian food is using those cultural influences but applying them to the ingredients that are grown physically here, and using some of those techniques that come from abroad and applying them to the things that we grow and have around us to create something kind of special and unique.
We're at Pluvio in Iqaluit. I'm talking with the executive chef Warren Barr, and from the land of three name people, Lily Verney Downey. It's a two-part question. What do locals want, and what do the tourists want from this kitchen?
The locals, you can tell when the locals come in because every dish that's ordered is meat. And when the tourists come in, every dish that's ordered is seafood. So it's amazing. Tell. It's like, you know, you see the tide turning of the locals to the tourists because you can tell by what's on the bills. If it's all lamb, beef, and chicken, you know it's the locals. If it's all halibut, scallops, and salmon, yeah, it's the tourists.
Yeah, it's amazing. Definitely our meat sales are going down and seafood's going up.
So this is the shoulder season. You're heading into summer.
Yeah, we're heading into it now. We've definitely seen it start to pick up a little slowly, but more steadily. We're seeing week over week things being a little more steady now.
We have come to Iqaluit, and we found this wonderful restaurant called Pluvio Restaurant and Rooms. Who's taking care of the wine selection here?
So we have a sommelier. Her name's Chloe Gravel. So she's working with me, but much more her. And she's working with a lot of local agents and distributors and wineries in the Okanagan.
And what instructions did she get?
Keep the guests happy.
Keep the guests happy, yeah. You know, we know that a lot of our guests are going to want to see Canadian selections, yeah. So that plays into that there. But kind of our overall target has been, you know, we're going to be as Canadian as possible without shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah.
You know, when it's truffle season, we want truffles. If you want a good Burgundy, it's going to come from Burgundy, you know, like these things like that. So there's definitely some stuff from abroad in, but lots of Canadian focus.
Where's the cliches? Where's the bacon? Where's the maple syrup?
You know what? We've got the biggest jug of maple syrup you've ever seen in the fridge, and it's probably going to last us 4 years.
We're at Pluvio in Iqaluit. I'm talking with the executive chef, Warren Barr, and Lily Verney Downey. What are the hits currently?
I don't know if we'll ever be allowed to take the beef dish off that we have on the main course. Beef short rib, it's cooked for 48 hours. It's grilled before it's cooked. It's grilled after it's cooked.
It's got a fermented mushroom and spruce sauce, and it's Cache Creek beef, which is just a beautiful beef to start with. And it's with mushrooms, and some mushrooms that a guy grows for us locally, and some greens that we forage. And it's
I'm hungry already.
Yeah, it's
what's in second place?
Our side striped shrimp has been super popular. There's poached, made with a kosho vinaigrette. And our salmon and beets has been super popular. So we make our own candied salmon, and we mix them with beets that have been roasted and dried and braised in a sweet dashi, and lots of rhubarb textures to complement all that. I think those are probably a couple of our big hits.
Mm-hmm. Pork belly and scallops. Yeah.
Yep.
There's no one else doing what we're doing, but there's a lot of people doing hamburgers. Iqaluit has a lot of amazing, great lunch spots, a lot of really good casual places to eat, but, you know, the opportunity to take over what was previously Norwood's, what was the fine dining restaurant in town, and do something a little bit special and a little bit different was pretty amazing, and it's great because there isn't anyone else in Iqaluit doing something like this, so we get to be the place that people want to come celebrate something or come out for a nice meal, take a loved one out, so it's been pretty nice.
Yeah, it's been great. And we've had great local support. I think a lot of locals, when they knew Norwood's was selling, was a little worried that they were going to lose their special occasion place. But they were relieved and have been super supportive when we got
there. And the room is set up for you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We are so lucky to buy a beautiful restaurant right out of the gates. It's off of a great guy, too. It feels like we hit the lottery as far as a restaurant sale goes.
We have come to Iqaluit, which is a couple of kilometers away from Tofino, Pluvio Restaurant and Rooms. Executive chef is Warren Barr. And his partner and front of house, Lily Verney Downey. Pluvio.
It's short for pluviophile, which is someone who is most at peace in the rain. It describes how we feel about the area. We went through all sorts of names trying to figure out something that really described here. We tried to find the name. You know those trees are all windswept on the side of the ocean? We go, that's such a West Coast thing. What's it called? There's no word in English. We found one in German, which is Kammhumpf. But we thought that was a little intense for the restaurant, maybe.
The marketing people would have.
That wasn't going to fly. Started exploring files because someone had posted a picture, a friend, about a thalophile, which is a lover of the ocean. We're like, hey, maybe that's an avenue to go down. And as soon as we heard pluviophile, we just knew that pluvio was the right name for sure.
You didn't talk about the pasta, and I see there's some pasta being worked over there.
Yeah, that's charcoal pasta that we fill with chicken mousse. So it's like a kind of a boudin blanc agnolotti that we end up making going on the chicken dish.
What did he say?
So they fill the pasta with a chicken mousse. So it's a chicken boudin blanc agnolotti. So a little stuffed pasta that goes on the chicken dish.
It's great to have a translator,
yeah,
right?
The interpreter continues. Now I'm the interpreter. The one needing interpretation.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, what local wines are you drinking?
A couple weeks ago, we just got the Rathgen Cellars Pinot Noir on the menu, which Dynamite. Is fantastic. Great from Vancouver Island. Really good, low production. And then the Loch and Worth. We've been drinking a lot of the
Semsav.
Semsav, also their rosé, just beautiful. We're big rosé lovers. Loch and Worth rosé is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Local wineries, what did we just get in the Freeform, right? Which is a great sparkling. Freeform is an awesome sparkling we just got in. I think it's a traditional method.
Tell me about the rooms, Lily.
So we're building 4 boutique hotel rooms behind the restaurant here. They'll be looking out over our kitchen garden. So we have behind the rooms, each room will have a private deck, which will be looking out over some trees, some fruit trees, and then in front of the rooms where you go into the entrance, we've got a little rooftop kitchen garden that we've started. So we've got nasturtium and lemon verbena and lemon balm growing up there. So we're not going to do room service, but people can come down and join us in the restaurant. Everyone that's been making a reservation, I've been encouraging them to book a seat at the chef's table, which is the counter that you can see sitting right in front of the kitchen, so they get to watch the chefs working.
That's the chef's table.
That's the chef's table. Sure, yeah, you're basically in the kitchen. You get to hear everything they say. You get to see everything they do.
You don't have to look at the menu. If you just watch what's being cooked in front of you, you'll find your plate.
It takes people forever to order when they sit there because they think they've made up their mind and then something else goes out and it's back to square one.
Yeah.
One last thing. It's your own room now. How does that change what you do?
It feels very personal, I think, and that's something that the feedback that we've had from guests is that they feel very comfortable here and that it's very personal service. And, you know, for Warren to be able to see every table from the kitchen and for the cooks to be able to see the guests enjoying the dishes is so impactful.
And bottom line is it's just a lot more fun.
Yeah.
It's been a ton of fun doing this. You know, it's getting a chance to talk to all the guests and seeing people eat the food and seeing our wonderful
playlist.
Staff working with the people and creating the playlist. How much fun was that? You know, all these little details we got put into was a lot of fun, and seeing it all come together and people just having a good time has been super fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Warren Barr and Lily Verney Downey from Pluvio in Yakulit. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Their highly anticipated White Merlot 2018 has finally come to the tasting room and to their website this weekend. If you're in the Okanagan, stop by to snag some bottles. Make this the summer you try the Bench 1775 White Merlot. Bench1775.com. Well, that's part one of our 4 days in Tofino special. The last 2 days will include conversations with Tina Windsor from Picnic Charcuterie, Neil Campbell from Tofino Craft Distillery, Brian O'Malley from Tofino Brewing, Brendan Fole, and Cassidy McCoggan from Summit Bakery. And then we head for the Tofino Food and Wine Festival to finish off our special. We'll be talking to Kira Rogers, the producer, Rob Habersley from Black Market, Sarah Triggs from Culmina, Paul Gardner from Pantage, Chris Smith from Way West Wines. And if we haven't run out of time, we also hooked up with David Gouge from Sea Star. We'll see if we can fit that all in. Next week, Tofino Part 2. Please join us. All the details at tastingroomradio.com and mulliganstew.ca. Cheers. Have yourself a great and safe Canada Day weekend.